Have you ever gone to a wedding reception only to find there is no place for you to sit? Maybe it doesn't happen to you very often, but it seems to happen to me all the time. Sometimes it's because the wedding is informal. No one has a designated place to sit. For some, this is great. They can choose where to sit and enjoy the evening with family and friends. But what if you are the minister and your spouse was unable to join you this evening? And the bride was a child of the church, but her family hasn't been around since confirmation, so there really aren't any church folk at the reception. And forget the whole part about your being an introvert. You've learned to pass. Sometimes people even think you're an extrovert. But you're wearing that collar, trying to find a place to sit. Awkward. Let's be honest. No one wants the minister at their table at a wedding reception. They'll have to watch what they say. They'll have to watch how much they drink. They'll want to appear religious. Many will try to make a connection. I don't go to church, but I grew up Presbyterian. So did half the world. I used to go to your church. Yeah, that will make a pastor feel good. As awkward as those occasions are, they aren't the worst. If no one has an assigned place, it's no big deal. The pastor doesn't have a seat, but neither do they. You may not be surrounded by friends, but people get that. You're the pastor. You're not there to party. You're there to pray. When it really gets awkward is when everyone else has an assigned seat, but you don't. Now, maybe it's happened to you. You walk into the Hagerty Center. The place is packed. Everything is so elegant. Your spouse looks great. It's going to be a great night. You walk over to the table with the place cards. You start reading through the names. Matthews, Miller, Monroe, Murphy, Nielsen, Nelson. Oh, wait, did I miss one? Matthews, Miller, Monroe, Murphy, Nielsen, Nelson. No, I guess not. So you scan the whole table again. Maybe it got moved or misplaced. They often spell it with an E. No, it's just not there. Now, if that happens to you folks, I don't feel too sorry for you. Most of the time it's because you didn't RSVP. But when this happens to us, pastors, it's usually because we didn't get an invitation. You can see how this goes. The bride and the groom are doing their, well, the bride is doing the invitations. They're afraid they're going to run short. They know the pastor is going to be there anyway. So they don't send the pastor an invitation. No big deal. Until a few weeks later, when they're making the seating chart. They pull out all the RSVPs and start making place cards. But the pastor's RSVP isn't there because he or she didn't get an invitation to begin with. That's when the fun begins. The bride's mom is talking with some of the guests about how beautiful the ceremony was. When she spies the pastor looking at the place cards, You can imagine what she says, so I won't repeat it. She cuts the conversation short and runs to find her husband. "What are we going to do? We forgot to save a place for Pastor." They quickly go through the guest list in their head. "Who's sitting at our table?" "Oh, yeah. Well, we can move them to your cousin's table." So the pastor suddenly goes from having no place to having a seat of honor at the bride's family's table. Everyone is happy, just like Jesus envisioned, right? Not quite. The pastor realized what had happened long before anyone else. He or she watched the horror on the bride's mother's face, saw the animated conversation with dad, and either saw the dejection of those who got bumped from their place at the bride's table, or didn't, and wondered all night about who now has it in for the pastor because he or she took their place at the table. You can learn a lot about people and relationships at a wedding banquet. Reading the Gospel of Luke, it would be easy to think Jesus was Presbyterian at heart. Much of his time is spent around a dinner table. So much so, one of the great criticisms of Jesus was he was a glutton and a drunkard. Luke has more references to Jesus eating at banquets and dinner tables than any of the other Gospels. Jesus, it seems, did most of his teaching not in the synagogue, but reclining at a table. Luke tells us, on one such occasion, Jesus was on his way to the home of a Pharisee for a Sabbath dinner, and they were watching him closely. Jesus was watching them too. When he noticed how the guests chose places of honor, he told them a parable. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you." Now, on the surface, it appears Jesus is offering some sage, even cunning, advice. Want to avoid being embarrassed in front of your family and friends? Take the poorest seat in the house. Chances are you'll be moved up anyway. But given Jesus' own conduct often caused embarrassment for his hosts and their guests, it would seem there's more here than a page from Emily Post. The second parable in our reading this morning helps us see Jesus' intent a little more clearly. Jesus turns to his host and says, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." There is more going on here than we realize. God is watching. Those who are trying so hard to get the best seat in the house often at the expense of the poor, are doing all of this in the eyes of God. Could it be what Jesus saw as he enjoyed dinner at the Pharisee's home was a group of powerful and privileged religious folk posturing before God? This seems a real possibility when you look at the verses which precede and follow our text this morning. On his way to this dinner, Jesus encounters a man with dropsy, swelling in the body caused by an excess of fluid. In Luke's day, dropsy was also a metaphor for greed. Like people with dropsy who have an insatiable thirst, though they are filled with fluid, there are those who have an insatiable hunger for money, power, and privilege, though they already have more than their daily bread. Jesus happened to be eating dinner with a couple of those folks. They had an insatiable desire for power and privilege, seeking places of honor, not simply among themselves, but in the eyes of God. That this is Jesus' concern is seen in the parable of the great banquet, which follows our text. Luke tells us someone gave a great dinner and invited many. When they all made excuses, he said to his servant, "Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." Here the meaning becomes clear. We are to invite the poor, the blind, and the lame to our tables, for that is who God invites to God's table. The Pharisees, with their insatiable desire for power and privilege, thought they had secured a place at God's table. They were sadly mistaken. God had given their place to the people on the street, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Friends, long before Jesus, the Messianic banquet was one way people envisioned what life in God's kingdom would be like. The Pharisees, the self-appointed caretakers of things holy, lived with a presumption of privilege, a sense of entitlement, if you will. They believed theirs would be the place of honor at God's table, at least until they heard Jesus say, "All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Jesus' words caution us not to think and act like the Pharisees. Though we are sometimes tempted to presume a place of privilege because of our race, ethnicity, class, gender, nationality, native tongue, or even religion, these things mean next to nothing in the eyes of God. If God has a preference for anyone, it is the poor, the powerless, the unlovable, the ignorant, and those whom the world humiliates. These are the people for whom God has reserved the places of honor. These are the people we will be joining for dinner if there is room. Beloved, the good news is, in Jesus Christ, God has made a place for us too. loving as Christ loves, we may let go of our entitlements. Loving as Christ loves, we may learn to be humble. Loving as Christ loves, we may learn to love those whom God loves. Loving as Christ loves, befriending the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, including them in our lives and on our guest lists. God has given us a chance to prepare for dinner. Thanks be to God.